continued interest in your prayers. I tell you, it's so good to have these babies in the congregation. It hadn't been but just several years ago, we didn't have any. And we're so thankful to the Lord for that blessing. And we're just thankful for everybody here, but especially for those little ones. Okay. Well, if you'd like to turn with us this morning, we begin in Psalm 1. Yesterday at Little Vine, we dealt with this psalm, and as we feel like that there's a lot of things here that I believe applies for Piney Grove as well as Little Vine. And so I won't take a lot of the time going through like we did yesterday, but I do want to notice Psalm 1. Often, as I've pondered the Psalms and the variety of the emotions that are touched and the subjects that are brought up and the vast amount of trust and faith and prayer and supplication to the Lord, I've often thought, wow, just look at the wisdom of God in how this book of Psalms begins. I've said here and yesterday that I've heard it said that Psalms touches on every human emotion. And whether that's true or not, I know that the book, the whole Bible, is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. So whatever we need, for whatever we need the Word of God, it's sufficient for us. God, in His wisdom, in His power, in His providence, has provided His Word for us. Now let me ask you a question. Why? Why? I mean, the more I study how the King James translation came into existence, the more convinced I am that God, by His providence, gave us the King James translation. Has nothing to do with King James. God. Why? It's preserved for us. It is without error. Now, publishers can make errors. I've found misspelled words in printed Bibles. Publishers can make errors. God don't make no mistakes. Right? So it's preserved for us. It's without error. It's absolutely the truth. God has told us what He wanted us to know. So He has said what He means, and He means what He says. So again, my question is, why, when we can see how involved God has been in giving us this book, why? Because it's good for us. Because it will feed our souls. Because for those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, which we know the book doesn't give you that, God blesses us with His Spirit. When it pleases Him, we're blessed to be born of His Spirit. But this book can nourish us. So, and what I'm getting at is, He didn't give it to us to be a book to lay on a coffee table to look good and collect dust. So, my question is, in relation to that, how much of this word have we personally, you don't have to answer, you can tell the Lord this, how much of this word have we consumed this week? Could it have been a little more? You don't even have to be able to read anymore. I can take my phone, I can push a few buttons, and it will read it to me. Isn't that great? It'll read it to me. So, gee, I don't have to pronounce the words. I don't have to do much at all except receive it. And we need to receive it into a good heart so they can sink down deep and find a lodging place. I hope you found Psalm 1 by now. Blessed is the man. Now that I'll tell you right there, this book, the book of Psalms, as it begins, it tells you about someone who's blessed. And it'll contrast that with somebody who's not. And it'll tell you what the blessed man's doing, and it'll tell you what the blessed, those that are not blessed are doing. Are not, you know, it gives you the contrast. Blessed is the man, so here's what he's doing, who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, we're fast approaching a culture where we have to define the standard for godliness. Everybody wants to set their own standard these days, seems like. God's word, given to us a long time ago. God's word has always been the truth. I don't care how culture changes, it will remain the truth. Until Jesus comes again, it'll be the truth that we need to live our lives by. The word of God. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That right there, if we would pay attention to that phrase, and if we would do a good job of observing that phrase, it would bless us tremendously in our lives. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Like we said yesterday, the rest of this verse, one, is just a matter of degrees. This person that walks in the counsel of the ungodly is listening to ungodly counsel, being influenced by ungodly counsel. They're already headed in the wrong direction. And the next phrase is, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Well, that's just a matter of degrees. Not only are they listening, but now they're hanging around to get more. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It's farther down the line in the same progression, going farther away from God to the point that they would even agree with the scorners of that which is good. See, right off the bat, he uses this to tell us, if you want a blessed life, don't do this. Then he says, but his delight. Now, everybody here, there may be some too young to know it, it's probably there though. Everybody here has something in which they delight. Something you enjoy. Something that if you've got some free time, you can think about doing. Where is your delight? I'm not saying you can't enjoy the things of this life. I'm not saying you can't enjoy time with your family, but I am saying if those things are done at the complete expense of not observing godliness, that's a problem. His delight. This verse 2 is going to tell us what the godly man, the blessed man, what his delight is. And it's in the law of the Lord. The word of God for us today. We're no longer under the old law service, but we have the word of God. It served its purpose. It's still there for us. It's still good. But let's consider that as the word of God, the Bible. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, what God says is right and what God says is wrong. He's the one that says what's right and he's the one that says what's wrong. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You see some measure of the delight this person has in knowing what God says is right and what God says is wrong. You know, if we stop right there, you've got enough homework to go home and think about, well, what is my delight? In what do I delight? Whose counsel am I listening to? Now, I'm thankful. I know most everybody here. And I'm thankful for the witness you're already showing of how you love the Lord, how you want to follow his word. But I'm going to tell you something. The word of God is always, from cover to cover, it's encouraging us to walk closer to the Lord, to do more in his service. And I believe that's because we all have this tendency, because of this old man nature of ours, we all have our tendency to want to just sit down and not do anymore. I do enough. I showed up for church twice last year. I do enough. You know, we all have our different ways of measuring things, right? But this is the measuring stick. This never changes. And the more we read this word, the more our mind has collected it, and the more we understand it, the more we've hid it in our heart that we would not sin against the Lord, the better we are at measuring things the way God measures things. So very quickly, right on down. It's only six verses, but still, I don't want to get bogged down here. Verse 3, and he shall, now here's the benefits. This blessed man who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates upon it day and night, and he's not listening to the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Look at the benefit. Look at the promised blessing to be received by this one. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wow. If you plant a fruit tree, what do you want it to do? Bear one fruit? One apple? One peach? And that's it? Okay, two. You want it to be fruitful. Maybe you labored to tend to that. Maybe you've fertilized it. Maybe you've dug around it. Maybe you've done a lot to pruning it each year to get it to that place where you want it to be so that it can be fruitful. Thank you. But what if it's not? Are you disappointed? Would you be disappointed? How much more you think God is. When you stop and think about all that He has done, is doing, will do, and forever to be enjoyed by us, when we think of what God has done for us, when we do what He says, when we live according to the way He says we should, all we're saying is, thank you, Lord, I love you. You can't add anything to Him, but you can sure do a better job of saying thank you. That's our job. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, that we should show forth His praises. Praises. That's our job. That's our privilege. That's the blessing that we have from the Lord, by His mercy and by His grace. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it, but we have freely received it. Let's do a better job of saying, thank you. I love you. May God bless you. Is our prayer.